Yamuna Tiravani His loving divine grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jam Vishwapad Paramus Parivrajaka Acharya Stota Shri Srimada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Thakur Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar. Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Raja Govardhan Ki Jai. Vraja Bhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dwarika Dham Ki Jai. Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Maiya Ki Jai. Yamuna Maiya Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda. Nidai Gaura Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The dictionary meaning of pride is deep satisfaction in our own achievements or those of others. It can separate us from making us come out better or worse. In this sense, put down pride is destructive. An extent to which we entrain it, we destroy peace in our life. It is always considered as one of the personality defect or a character defect. And it can be overcome only and only by what?
Humility. Mercy.
Exactly. Humility. Actually, we enjoy this pride. Do we or not?
Yes.
Be frank and honest to yourself. Everybody liked. Because it gives us a sense of control. The feeling of power and superiority, it bestows us with that. And if you search back in the history, it is considered as a great vice, because most of the civilization, they got destructed because of pride. So, to detect this particular anartha in our heart is very difficult. Why is it so? It is the hardest defect to recognize ourselves because of two reasons. The first, pride makes us think too highly of ourselves and making it more difficult to see our own flaws. If you think yourself so big, then you don't find any small holes in your character. It becomes very difficult. Because every rise has its own fall. And pride, it distincts you from the group. It separates you from the group. And he puts you in such a high position or high state or high level that you don't care about who are supporting you, who is your foundation. And because of that, it becomes really difficult to recognize this particular defect in ourselves. Because you become blind for that. And in Sanskrit, that called as a mad andha, means blind with pride. There are three kinds of blind. One is janmandha, blind by birth. Second is madandha, mad andha, because of blind, because of pride. And third one is dhananda, pride because of wealth. And pride has a particular quality. It hides behind our flaws, making it harder to detect its own presence. And that's why to work on this particular anartha is very difficult. Some people, they say, I'm really humble. They have pride of their humility. You know, I'm so humble. Do we need to say that? Where is humble, anyone can make it out. No need to boast it or speak it out. Because humility is a gem that can be recognized from distance only. No need to boast that. Because it even attracts the Lord. That's the most attractive quality of the devotee. Do you know when Mahaprabhu, whenever he used to meet anyone who is to come from Vrindavan, what he used to ask about Sanatana Goswami? For everyone he used to ask, how is Sanatanera Vairagya? He never used to ask anything else. Has he wrote some books, or has he preached thousands of people, or this or that? He just used to ask, how is his Vairagya? Because Vairagya is the outcome of humility. Unless and until you are humble, you are not going to get any sort of a detachment. And the most important thing that we have to understand, what is that breeds this pride? The lack of knowledge. But person who is puffed up of his knowledge, what to speak about him then? We see most of the people, they get puffed up because they think they are more knowledgeable than anyone else. Then what about this? As I think yesterday, in Ishopanishad, 12th verse in the purport, Prabhupada says, knowledge in the hands of miscreants is more dangerous than the ignorance. Because they can misinterpret, give their own misconception as a purport to the divine knowledge. So it is more dangerous than the ignorance. Like a snake. Sarpochishta yatha paya. The male, but which is touched by serpent. See, historically, pride has not been considered just as more character defect. It is the deadliest of them and seed from which they sprout and the root which sustains them. All the anarthas, they breed from pride. That's the breeding ground actually. A basic breeder, they call it. And pride is the soul sickness. And where it's puffed up, people never like his association. Oh, he boasts himself a lot. Nobody wants to go to him. And he becomes isolated. And once you become isolated, you go crazy. In material life, we see most of the people who are known for their some achievements had a very dreadful end in their life. For example, like Marlene Munro, maybe our Chaudhariji may be knowing, because at their youngest she was the beautiful actress. How she died? She was so proud of her beauty. The first wrinkle she saw on her face, and she got isolated from the whole society. She kept herself locked. She rotten. Her body got rotten and she died. Hitler, he considered himself as the most powerful personality. He was so arrogant. When Netaji Subhas Chandra Bose went to meet him, he was boasting so much. While coming, Bose said, he's going to get destroyed. Because Lord tolerates everything. but he never tolerates pride in anyone. And we have seen the history, Puranas. So many incidents are there, how the person who was puffed up, they are put on the ground. They are destroyed. Look at the Hiranyakashipu. We'll start from the creation. The first person, the first demon actually, who conquered the whole universe. And who was so knowledgeable in spirituality, if you read his teachings to the wives of Hiranyaksha and his mother, you will get bewildered. Who is giving this such a wonderful narration? He was just such a knowledgeable person. But what happened? He performed so severe austerities. He got a boon and he thought that now he is immortal. And he started doing all sort of nonsense. Because of that pride, he lost his own knowledge. And he got destroyed by the Lord. The same person, he again came as a Ravana. How many of you have read Valmiki Ramayana? Or heard Tulasi Ramayana? See, there is one full chapter on Ravana in Valmiki Ramayana, where Hanumanji is explaining about Ravana. Who is he? Ravana was such a great person. In one sense, if you really try to judge his character, he was the most handsome personality of that era. When Hanumanji entered into the Lanka, and especially in the inner chambers of Ravana, Ravana was lying on his cloud like a bed, not like a foam, but like a clouds. He was lying on that, and his body was like a Cadbury color, splendid and so handsome that Hanumanji got bewildered. Who is he? Such a handsome personality, who is more handsome than the Indra. But he saw some scars on his body of fight, and then he said he is not a gentleman. He may be handsome, but definitely he is a fighter as well, because he is having such a big scars on his body. And when he went further, he smelled wine, and then he realized he's not a human being. Because as per the Niti Shastra, if you smell the wine, you will lose your Vedic knowledge. Can you imagine? You will lose your Vedic knowledge if you even smell the wine. And now there is a beer yoga is going on. I have seen some spiritual personalities, they call themselves as, they boost or boast themselves as, they can't speak without getting their throat warm. How you can get a Vedic knowledge from these people? And Ravana was the scholar of Vedas. Especially Sama Veda. Sometimes demigod, they used to perform some yagyas. And they used to invite Ravana as a Udgata. He was so clear in his pronunciation. He was the person who invented this Rudra Veena, the most intricate and complicated device to play. South Indians, they know what is Rudra Veena means. And he is one of the person who was great in astrology. He wrote his own Samhita, which is known as the Ravan Samhita. But what happened? मनासांगपा रावणाकाय झाले, अहंते बनी सर्वची बुडाले. बिकॉज ऑफ हिज प्राइड एवरीथिंग गॉट डिस्ट्रॉयड. ही हिमसेल्फ अलॉन्ग विथ हिज ओन डायनेस्टी. सो टू वर्कआउट दिस पर्टिक्युलर अनर्था इज व्हेरी डिफिकल्ट. So to overcoming this pride, if pride is the breeding ground for all character defects, so is humility the nourishing soil all of the virtues. Pride is therefore identified and surrendered as we identify and surrender it in every other defect. Similarly, humility is practiced and acquired in the process of practicing and acquiring every other virtue. For in some measures, each requires that we humble ourselves. Anything which is virtuous in the world, to attain that, when you endeavor, you have to practice humility. That's why Lord, first of all, when he instructs Arjuna in the transcendental knowledge, what he says? Whom we have to go? Tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. The specific word here Lord has used. Pranipat. What is that pranipat? What it means? Prakrusha Ritena Nipatha. Nipatha means fall down. Fall down means, we say generally, Dandavat Prana. Do you know what it means actually? Dandavat Prana. That's not the way of offering Dandavat Prana. Dandavat. Danda means stick. When sticks falls, how it falls? Straight on the ground. So you have to fall yourself on the ground straight as like a stick. Means surrender yourself totally. That is pranipat. And Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains us about a very wonderful incident through which we can understand what is the great remedy for this particular defect called as a pride. Do you remember any pastime in Krishna Leela? Maybe this Janmashtami we will have a series of lectures on demons in Vrindavan Leela, which will show us that what are the defects that are presented by the different demons, if management allows. Do you remember any incident? Yeah, that's good example.
Indra.
Exactly. That's not because of pride, right? Please, it's a humble request. Read Krishna. Prabhupada wants that. Whoever wants to progress in spiritual life, at least a one page of Krishna book, read it every day. That will keep you on the track. Otherwise it's tough. Because it's his pastimes which are going to nourish that humility in our heart. If we know that this is boss, then automatically you will consider yourself as a servant. And if you don't read these pastimes, you are not going to accept him as a boss, as a supreme controller. Each and every pastime has shown Lord never tolerates pride in anyone. Forget about the demons, with his own devotees near and dear. See, among the Dwaraka Vasis, Uddhava is considered Haridasa. Means, he is designated as a Haridas. There are only three personalities who are known as Haridas. Authorized by the Lord as his own servant. Who are they? Uddhava in Dwarika. Maharaj Yudhishthir in Hastinapur and Giriraj Govardhan in Vrindavan. They are known as Haridas. Giriraj is called as Haridasa Varya, topmost among the servants of the Lord. And Lord never tolerated pride in them even. As he has given that story. When Lord came to Dwarika, he was staying there and he was always in the thoughts of gopis. So, everyone was perplexed by seeing the Lord in some agony, which is not manifested anywhere, but is there on his face, and only Uddhava can read that, because Uddhava is so intimate. And he can make it out, hey man, there's some problem. That's why you should have a friend who can understand without telling him that you are in problem. He looks at the Lord and says, what's that? People, they get rid of all their problems just by remembering your name. And you seems to be in agony. What is that? What creates that agony in your heart? And then Lord says, it's the separation from gopis. He said, what's that? Their thoughts actually makes me so thoughtful. So he said, okay, let me go. And I will go and what that particular word? Santvana? I will try to soothe their mind. Soothing. Not shoot. Soothing their mind. By my own explanations. Because he is direct disciple of Brihaspati. He got the whole Vedic knowledge from Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the teacher of demigods. So he said, okay, let me go. And Lord said, okay, here is your time to get purified. Go. And Uddhava came to Vrindavan. And he saw the mood of gopis. He was gone. What position he asked for? And still he is living in Vrindavan? He said, my Lord. When Lord told him that now you have to be here only, you are not coming back with me. He took everyone but asked Uddhava to stay back. And then Uddhava said, if I have to stay back, I will stay in Vrindavan. The dust of the lotus feet of gopis, that's the real wealth of my life. So please give me the birth of gulma, means creepers, and grass. So I can get unknowingly the dust of gopi's lotus feet. And his pride was totally crushed on me. He went and he just started. He went to he asked on the way to Nandagram, where is Nanda Baba's house? I want to see that. One of the Brajavasis was continuously crying. He just told him that, just follow this stream of water. You will reach at the source, and that will be the place of Nandangan, the place where Lord played in his childhood. So he followed that stream. He went and he saw that stream is not a common water that is flowing from somewhere, but that was tears flowing from the eyes of Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda. And then he went and he started to console them. Oh, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. And why you have to cry for him? He is everywhere. And he glorified Lord like anything. Then Nanda Baba got irritated. He said, you have come here to console us or to make us more painful in thought of him? You are glorifying him and telling him that how we are foolish that we are staying away from him. And then Uddhava realized, oh my God, what I have done. Rather than minimizing their sorrow, I am intensifying that mood. And I am not capable of convincing them. And thus, his pride of knowledge was destroyed. Some people, they have pride of their renunciation even. Knowledge plus renunciation. So pride does not have limits. That only in this ashram or only in this phase I will have a pride. No. It can go up to the last stage. See, who is Uddhava? Topmost among the Lord's servants. And who are always just next to the Lord. And who was resembling exactly like a Lord. People used to get confused when they used to look at Uddhava. Because he was exactly looking like a Lord. And that person also has a pride. One may consider maybe, oh, he's a householder, so it's very common for them to have. But what about the personalities who are in Iran's order? Any example for that? Who cursed Maharaj Ambarish? Who was he? Great ascetic who had 60,000 disciples. Who were also ascetics. Who has renounced everything. But he has a pride of his renunciation and austerities and mystic powers that he has possessed. But every rise has its own fall. And we saw that. How he has to run from pillar to post to get saved from Sudarshan. Lord creates situations so you get humiliated and you understand your own. You come to your own shoes then. About knowledge. I don't know how many of you have heard about. Even Shukadev Goswami was also once puffed up of his own knowledge. Of his own vairagya. Because when he came out, he got a boon that he will not get touched by the external potency of the Lord. So once Vyasadeva sent him to get a knowledge from Rajarshi Janak. So just go and have a discussion with him about Atma Tattva. So Shukadeva Goswami came to Mithila and he sent a word from Dwarapalas, please ask Rajarshi Janak that I have come to meet him. So Janakji, he heard that, he said okay. Dwarapala went out. Here Shukadeva Goswami was expecting that if he has heard that I have come, he will come and he will escort me. After some time again he said, can you just remind him that I am outside here? Again they went and he said, okay, I am just busy, let me finish this and I will be there. It's like a whole day passed. And Shukadeva Goswami just passed him. And he saw that Rajarshi Janak is sitting on a cradle, lavish, very nicely. So Shukdev Goswami came. Straightly he went ahead and he sat next to Rajarshi Janak in his cradle. Then he asked him, okay, what's the reason you have come for? He said, I wanted to discuss Atma Tattva with you, and that's why my father said. He said, okay, we'll start. No formalities like giving asana, padya, because he came and he directly sat. That's pride. Because pride makes you forget even general rules. When you go as an atithi at someone's place, and it's you who has approached that person to get something from him. So who are you? You're a beggar. And forgetting that, because of a pride, he thought himself superior to him, and he went and sat next to him. And they just started discussion. Then one Dwarpal came running inside and said, oh, there was a fire in the place where all Kshudras are staying. Devarshi Janak never bothered. He said, okay. Then again, they continued. It's like a whole night the discussion was carrying on. Then the next Dwarpal, he came and he said, oh, master, there's a fire in the Vaishya area. He said, okay, we'll see. Again, they continued. Then the third one came, he said, there is a fire in Kshatriya. Then the fourth one came and said, the fire in the Brahmanas and everything is getting burnt out. Other one came running and he said, there is a fire everywhere in the palace. All the inner chambers where all women and kids are staying, everything got burned and everything getting destroyed. And there is a fire at your place now. And it's increasing, and literally everywhere there is a fire. Shukdev Goswami was sitting, his feet down. He saw the fire and he took his feet up. And he sat. But Rajarshi Janak, he was sitting like that. His dhoti started burning, his hairs on the body started burning. And here Shukdev Goswami got troubled. He said, what is this? And he was in a calm mind and he was still discussing. He, Shukdev Goswami, just got up on the cradle. He said, take care of you now. Get rid of this. And the fire got extinguished. Everything was normal. And Shukdev Goswami realized, I'm not on that platform where I can discuss Atma Tattva. Because Atma Tattva should be discussed on the platform of Videha. That's why one name of Janak Maharaj is Videha. Videha means the person who is not on the bodily platform. So this incident gave the name the Rajarshi Janak as a Videha, and it showed Shukadeva Goswami that what is lacking in him. So Lord never likes pride in anyone's heart. Then the next thing, the pride that which comes with our own virtues, that also need to be tackled properly. And for that, there is a wonderful pastime which we celebrate gorgeously in the month of Kartik. Damodar Leela. Who were in pride? Who were those personalities who got delivered? Nalakuvera. There, Devarshi Narad, when he cursed them, he gave the remedy for pride. If you are interested, you can read it from 10th canto, chapter 10, from text 13 to 21. You will find how this remedy works. It says, Asta Shri Madandasya Taridryam Param Anjanam Atma Upameyan Bhutani Daridraha Parama Ikshate. Atheistic fools and rascals who are very much proud of wealth fail to see things as they are. If you are puffed up, heart is full of pride, then you can't see things as they are. Therefore, returning them to poverty is the proper ointment for their eyes, so they may see things as they are. At least a poverty-stricken man can realize how painful poverty is, and therefore he will not want others to be in painful condition like his own. So Daridryam Param Anjanam, that's what it says. Why Daridrya? In the 15th verse, Devarshi Narad, he himself explains, Daridroha Nriham Stambho Mukta Sarva Madeyaha Krucham Yad Achriyam Aapnoti Tad Thi Hitasya Param Tapaha. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penance. And because he does not have the wealth to possess anything, thus his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such a compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. So whoever think that they have a little bit more money than others, that's the pride, not they. Their pride is making them think like that. That need to be understood. And why this wealth creates a problem? That has explained by Prabhupada in this particular purport. How wealth keeps us away from the things which nourishes our soul. The first sentence, Prabhupada says, a saintly person voluntarily accepts a state of poverty just to become free from materials, false prestige. So devotee, they never endeavor for amassing wealth. Because there is another verse in the 11th canto, 15th chapter, I forgot the text number, that explains the 15 anarthas that you get because of wealth only. I may read it. Or if somebody can get the 11th canto from there, Avanti Brahmana's song, I can show you. So many great kings left their princely standard of living and went to the forest to practice austerity according to the Vedic culture, just to become purified. But if one who cannot voluntarily accept such austerity is put into a situation of a poverty, he automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material conditions. Therefore, if one is very much proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. Why? Because Niti Shastra says, Daridrya Dosho Gunarashi Nashi. If someone has a daridrya or poverty, then what happens? It destroys all your good qualities. You may have so many good qualities, but they never get recognized. If you are poverty stricken. When a person is a poverty stricken, naturally his false pride in aristocracy, wealth, education and beauty is smashed. Thus corrected, he is in the right position for liberation. That's what Naraji, he explains about having this path of accepting poverty, position of poverty. Because Madandha, as explained here in this verse itself, a poverty-stricken man therefore is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the result of austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by the saintly persons. And Prabhupada gives a wonderful example for that, about this money part, even for the grihasthas, how they should treat this money. He says, according to the option of an experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating. And tuberculosis is a disease of under-eating. We should desire neither to be diabetic or not to be. Tuberculosis. Why? Means not earn too much or not earn too less. Have a healthy earnings. As recommended elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamasya Naindriya Pritir Labho Jivita Yavataha Jivasya Tattva Jikyasa Natho Yasya Cheha Karamabhir. The real business of a human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement in spiritual realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from a disease and one increases in an envious fighting spirit. In this age of the Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development, and as a result they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops and brothels. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. In one more place, Prabhupada, he explains that too much wealth also keeps away the saintly persons from you. He says here, Prabhupada says, it's actually Narad Muni. Daridrasaiva yunjante sadava samadarshinaha शब्दीहि श्नोति तम तर्षणम तत् आश्र विशुद्धया. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty stricken man, by association with a saintly person, very soon becomes uninterested in the material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. It is said in the 10th canto, 8th chapter, text number 4, Mahat vichalanam dranam gavninam dinacheshta. The only business of a saintly person or a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhus, saintly persons want to preach to both the poor and rich, but the poor take more advantage of the sadhus preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhu very quickly, offers them obeisances and tries to take advantage of their presence. Whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at the door so that no one can enter in his house. He posts a sign saying beware of dog and avoids the association of a saintly person. Whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. Because Narad Muni in his previous life was a poverty stricken son of a maid servant. He got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narad Muni. This was his actual experience. Thereof, he is now comparing position of a poor man with that of a rich man. In Prema Vivarta, Narottam Das Thakur says, Krishna Bahir Mukahaya Bhogavancha Kare Nikatastha Maya Tare Chapatiya. Material life means that one forgets Krishna and that one increases in one's desire for sense gratification. But if one receives the advantage of instruction from a saintly person and forgets the importance of material desires, one is automatically purified. Unless the core of materialistic person's heart is purified, it cannot get rid of pangs of Bhava Mahadavagni, the blazing fire of material existence. And only the person, as per the Vidura Niti, can sleep at night whose heart is full of pride. So one needs to be very, 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 very careful of this particular anartha in our life, whether material or spiritual. Hare Krishna. So any question, any doubt, any comment? Yes, we have some second microphone. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. I just need one clarification as far as the timeline of Shukdev Goswami and Janak Maharaj. Can you just give some explanation?
See, there is no chronological explanation about this. Generally, we think that Shukdev Goswami was born when Lord was in Dwarka. Vyasadeva went and he asked for. But there is always a difference of leelas according to the kalpa. It is called as a kalpa bheda. And according to kalpa bheda, they are born in different, like one day of Brahma itself has a thousands of Treta Yugas. So in which Treta Yuga this story has happened, we don't know. And Shukdev Goswami is immortal. We never heard that Shukdev Goswami has left his body. So this story may be from the next Treta Yuga where the previous one has explained about, the previous Dwapar Yuga has explained about. And there is another thing also. This Treta Yuga is considered special because Lord appeared himself. That's why the, if you see chronological, first is Satya, second should be a Dwapar, third should be a Treta, and fourth should be a Kali. But this cycle has topsy-turvy. First Treta has come, and then Dwapar has come. Why Treta has come? For that day, Padma Purana explains about that. Because the Gautama's wife, Ahalya, she got cursed. To minimize the duration of her curse, this Treta was taken first. So that Lord Ramachandra can come step on her. And there are some deities in South India. When you go to any South Indian temple, especially the Vishnu temple, you will see on the Prabhavali. What is that Prabhavali? There is a Moola Vigraha, and on the back of the Moola Vigraha, on the top they have that half circular arch. On that arch you can see the Dasha Avatar. And the deities which are there from a Satya Yuga, they will show you, first is Balaram and then is Lord Ram. So this story is from there. In that regard, you can understand their time period. Anything else? So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Thank you so much.
Kanika and Sunidhan Ray, Kanika and Sunidhan Ray, Kanika.